The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Be updated. And I noticed after the update, my GPS not only tells me what streets to turn when I'm trying to get to a certain destination, it not only tells me which way to turn, but it also gives me a list of streets that I might want to avoid. Come on. And that reminded me of how the Holy Spirit speaks into our lives. He not only tells us which way to go, but he'll even warn us which ways to avoid. For example, in my GPS system, if there's an accident between where my point of departure and my destination, it will suggest alternative routes. Come on. And it will say to me, and it has a voice, I don't know if it's Alexis or Siri, but it says to me, rerouting. And what we need to understand is oftentimes the Holy Spirit is rerouting us. God's not changing his mind about you. God's not changing the vision. God's not changing the direction. He's just simply rerouting you. How many hear what I'm saying? But the Holy Spirit has a voice. Now, if you turn to Acts chapter 10, I want to show you how the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, I want you to look at verse 17. Verse 17. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, this is important. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said, everybody see that? The Spirit said, the Spirit has a voice. The Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, and go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, Peter was at the house of Simon, a tanner, who had a house by the seashore. And it was about noon that Peter went up on the rooftop to pray. He went up on the roof to pray, and Peter was very hungry, but it took some time for lunch or whatever meal they were eating to be prepared. But it was about the sixth hour, which is 12 noon. And Peter was so hungry, when he began to pray, he fell into a trance. He fell into a trance, and in this trance, he saw the heavens open. And there was a large sheet that was let down from heaven with the four corners of the sheet knitted, wherein he saw four-footed beasts, wild beasts, creeping things, and all kind of fowls of the air. And then Peter heard a voice say to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, for I have never eaten anything common unclean. Peter was a good Jew. And according to Leviticus chapter 11, all these animals that Peter saw in this large sheet and all these birds, they were unclean. Four-footed wild beasts. Wild beasts. Creeping things. Fowls of the air. So the voice came back to Peter a second time. Peter, rise, kill and eat. Peter said, no way. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice came a third time. Three is the number of completion. Peter, rise and eat. Rise, kill, and eat. Peter says, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything unclean or common or unclean. God spoke to Peter and said, do not call common that which I've cleansed. Don't miss this. Be careful what you say about somebody else. Be careful when you talk about somebody else. That's somebody's child, and they happen to be God's child. And God told Peter, don't call common that which I've cleansed. And it was at that point that the Spirit spoke to Peter when he wondered what this vision meant. Peter had a vision during this trance. Now, there's about three different kinds of visions. And this would be a good point for me to talk about them. About three different kinds of vision. The first kind is a spiritual vision. And a spiritual vision is when you see a vision, not with your physical eyes, but with the eyes of the Spirit. Not with these two physical eyes, but with the third eye, if you will, the eyes of the Spirit. For example, when Paul, or I should say Saul, was on the road to Damascus, he encountered the glorified Christ on the road to Damascus. There was a bright light that shined around him. And then he heard a voice, and then he saw Jesus. Saul, Saul, Jesus said to him, why persecutest thou me? Isn't it hard to kick against the pricks? Now, what's key about Paul's vision, this open vision, this spiritual vision, rather, that Paul had, he had a spiritual vision. Why was it spiritual? Because he saw the light, but none of the others with him saw the light. They heard the voice, but the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, they saw no man. Paul saw Jesus, but the others didn't. How could Paul see Jesus and the others with him didn't see Jesus? How could Paul see the light and the others with him didn't see light? Because it was a spiritual vision. Paul saw Jesus. He encountered Jesus with the eyes of the Spirit. That's a spiritual vision. And then there are open visions. There are open visions when you see a vision and your physical senses are still intact. That's right. You don't have to be asleep. Your eyes can be wide open. You can see a vision. And you know you just saw something. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 6, when the king of Syria was putting his strategy together to defeat the army of Israel, he would say to his army, we're going to set up camp in such and such a place. But Elijah, who was a prophet of God, he would go to the king of Israel and said, whatever you do, avoid that place, because the king of Syria is coming down to that place. This didn't happen just once. It didn't just happen twice. It happened multiple times. So the king of Syria said, we must have a spy in our camp. Which one of you are the spy? Sort of like what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now in the White House. So the king of Syria said, which one of you spy? And one of his servants spoke up and says, no, king, there is no spy. But there's a prophet in Israel named Elisha. And he has the word of the Lord. And he hears the very words you speak, king, even when you speak in your bedchamber. So the king of Syria says, I want you to spy out and find where this Elijah is. So they found that Elijah was in the city of Dothan. And so the king of Syria sent his army with horses and chariots and surrounded the city. And early one morning, Elijah's servant was arisen. He arose and he went outside and he saw the Syrian army surrounding the city. And he went, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" In other words, we are cooked. That was his attitude. And Elijah said to him, Elijah had an open vision. His senses were still intact, but he saw something. He said, "There are more with us than it is with them." Then he prayed and says, "God, open the eyes of my servant so that he can see." Then God opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw that God had even more horses and more chariots of fire than the king of Syria. If God be for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And we need to open our eyes and let God give us an open vision. You can see the answer. And if you can't see the answer, how can you really believe for the answer? It's a common thing to have an open vision. If you're sick and you can't get well, can you see yourself being healed? And if you can see yourself being healed, that's an open vision. If you're broke and you don't have enough money to meet ends, can you see yourself having more than enough? That's an open vision. And you're able to see that, and you're not asleep. Your senses are not suspended. Then there's the trance-like visions. That's what Peter had when he's at the house of Simon the Tanner. He was hungry, ready to eat. But they were taking so long to prepare the meal. So as Peter prayed, he slipped into a trance. God says, "I got him now." Why did God need a trance-like vision to deal with Peter? And I hope God doesn't have to put us in a trance to deal with us. Peter was in a trance. And in a trance-like vision, your physical senses are suspended. Remember, Peter, he's the one that was hard-headed. He was the one that was says, "Not so, Lord." Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan." He was the one that was very opinionated. "Oh, I will never deny you. I'm ready to go to jail with you. I'm ready to die with you." But he was one of the ones that forsook Jesus. And he certainly denied Jesus. But Peter was still God's chosen one. I'm sorry. Peter might have had his faults, but Peter was still God's chosen one. And we need to look beyond people's fault and see their need. We need to look at people the way God does. You may be messed up. Come on. But God's setting you up, come on, to be a blessing to somebody else. Is that right? But why did God have to use a trance to deal with Peter in his vision? God had to deal with Peter with race, the issue of race, the issue of religion. And Peter had a lot of prejudices. I don't think if Peter's senses were intact, God could have dealt with him. But Peter was a Jew among Jews. God wanted the gospel taken to the Gentiles. He wanted the gospel taken to Cornelius and his household. Because Cornelius was a man who feared God. He gave alms to the people and he prayed every day. But he didn't have the gospel. And God wanted the gospel taken to these Gentiles. And he chose Peter to do it. But he had to get Peter ready. The same way he's going to get you ready. The same way he had to get me ready. He's going to get all of us ready. And whatever it takes, if it takes a spiritual vision, if it takes an open vision, if it takes a trance, whatever it takes, God's going to speak to us. And he's going to speak to us through the voice of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and said, "Peter, rise. Kill and eat." And Peter understood what that meant. Peter said, "No, I've never eaten anything uncommon or unclean." But God says, "Don't you call that which I have cleansed cometh or unclean. There are three men at the gate waiting for you right now. He says, arise up from here and go with them. That's called instructions. Hello, somebody. And so Peter went with these three men. They were two devout servants of Cornelius and one of his faithful, devout soldiers. Peter went with them. And he went with them because he's being directed by the voice of the Holy Spirit. He went with them because he is being guided by the voice of the Holy Spirit. He went with them because the Holy Spirit had given him instruction. And when he got there, he was still the same old Peter. He was still the same old Peter. You know, it's unlawful for a Jew like me to come into the house of Gentiles. But the Holy Spirit led him. And when Peter began to preach, Cornelius and his household were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And God began to show Peter, this is not about you, but it's about me. It's about my plan and purpose. And Peter says, how can we forbid then that these be baptized in water, seeing that they receive the Holy Spirit like we did at the beginning? Because God's no respecter of person. So the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, is what God used to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Then God also used the Holy Spirit to speak to Philip. Flip over a page to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Now remember, Philip was a deacon. You deacons just say amen. Philip was a deacon, but it didn't stop him from going down to Samaria, preaching the gospel, turning the whole city over to God. There was great joy in that city because of Philip's preaching. A great crusade, a great revival. Many came to Christ. But yet Philip was sensitive enough to know, I just want to do God's will. He didn't stay there to build a monument. He didn't stay there to build some great church. He was sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now if you look at chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Now, how many would have a great citywide revival, a number of people, undoubtedly hundreds of people coming to Christ? How many would want to just walk away from that? How many want to walk away from that? You know what preachers would be doing nowadays? They look at it and say, well, that's too much money to walk away from. I rebuke you, Satan, telling me to go to the desert when you know ain't nobody out in the desert. Most of them want a big crowd. But it's always more important to follow the cloud, not the crowd. Always more important to follow the cloud. And this man has had a great revival. People were saved, filled the Holy Ghost. And God says, okay, time to go. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he rose and went. Somebody shout obedience. Obedience. And many of you say, well, I want to hear the Lord, the voice of the Lord. Well, start being obedient. That's a beginning. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, and sitting in his chariot was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, everybody see that? The Spirit said to Philip, the Spirit, the voice of the Spirit was spoken to Philip. The Spirit said to Philip, go near. These are instructions. And overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him. This is the kind of spirit you need. When God tells you to do something, don't just poke around, drag your feet, run to do it. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Now here we see a similar situation. The same way God, by the Holy Spirit, he used the voice of the Spirit to speak to Peter to take the gospel first to the Gentiles. Now he's using the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak to Philip and instruct him to go join himself to this chariot where this Ethiopian eunuch was. And he was a man of great authority. He was the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. And God wanted the gospel to go to Ethiopia. He wanted the gospel to reach the black man. Glory to God. Huh? And it took Philip hearing the voice of the Spirit. It took Philip being obedient to the instructions of the Spirit for the gospel to come to the black man. And as a result of Philip going, doing what God told him to do, when he says, do you understand what you're reading? The eunuch did not understand. How can I understand if there isn't some man to guide me? So Philip began to guide him. He preached the gospel to him. This eunuch accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And they came upon a body of water. And the eunuch said to Philip, there's nothing to forbid me to being baptized. There's water right here. So they stopped the chariot and Philip baptized him in the name of the Lord. Huh? Now here we see two classic examples. How God uses the voice of the Holy Spirit to give us direction, to give us guidance, and to give us instructions. I am a living witness. I got testimony after testimony how the Holy Ghost will instruct you, even when you don't know what to do. Come on. The voice of the Spirit will come, and he'll tell you, do this, that, or the other. Is that right? Now, don't get this confused now. There is a big difference between direction and guidance. Now, Jesus told his disciples, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide us into all truth. How can you be guided when you're afraid to move in the direction God has given you? Think about your automobiles right now. You cannot guide an automobile unless the wheels are moving. Somebody ought to say amen. And if you're seated on the seat of do nothing, come on, and you're still waiting on God, not understanding that God's waiting on you, and you are not being sensitive to the direction God has given you, you got to walk by faith and not by sight. And as you take that first step in faith, he will begin to guide you in the direction he's given you. And on that road, when he's guiding you, he'll say, turn here, turn there. He'll say, speed up, slow down. This is all part of being guided. Then he'll begin to give you instructions. Come on. He will instruct you what to say, what to do, when to say it, and when to do it. Can you say amen? This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is why I say it's more authoritative than that inward witness, than that inward voice, which is our conscience. But this voice comes to us to give us direction, guidance, and instructions. Is that right? Now, going back to our text and closing. John 16, verse 13. This cannot be plainer. This cannot be simpler. Jesus is saying to his disciples, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. And how many know he's come? How many knows he's here? He was poured out on the earth on the day of Pentecost. And he's been here ever since. And he'll be in the earth until Jesus raptures us out of this earth. Come on. When he has come, Jesus said he will guide. He will guide. He will guide. I don't know about you, but I need guidance. You can't get from here to Chicago without guidance. You need guidance. Most of you would late model automobiles, you know what you do. When you're going someplace you've never been, you know where you want to go. You know the direction you want to go. You depend on that GPS system in your automobile to guide you the right way. And many times when that GPS system is guiding you, you be going down routes and roads that you had never been before. You know, three or four years ago, Joyce and I, we were going up to Virginia, some little town in Virginia. You know, Paul Garleton and some of his people were there, and they were having a little treat. And so Paul wanted us to come up and spend the day with him. And so I punched in the address in my GPS. And this place was so far out, my GPS got to the place and said, there's no information available. No information available. Come on, Siri. But your spiritual GPS will never tell you there's no information available. God won't give you direction. He won't give you a vision that you can't achieve. Because the truth is, if God gives you the vision, he gives you direction in the mind of God, you're already there. You're already there. But there's a process. Peter had to go through this process. And God knew exactly what it would take for Peter to challenge Peter on his...
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. We hope you'll join us Sunday for a live worship service at 1430 South New Hope Road in Southeast Raleigh. www.agapeword.net. That's 10 a.m. Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.